that I hope she can remember enough English to welcome you. Donna, it's yours.
Thank you. I do want to welcome everyone here for our August teleconference. And, you know, this monthly hour has become one of our very favorite times to be able to connect with all of you across the country. So we thank you for joining us on this beautiful August evening. We're especially happy because Ivan's had an enormous amount of rainfall yesterday, and so it's clean and beautiful on this August evening. So as we are joining together here, I would like to introduce the topic for the evening. And Bill has chosen this for our topic, Judging and Judgments. It's an amazing world. So with that, I give it over to Bill.
Well, thank you so much, Donna. Yeah, isn't that just the world's best title? Judging and Judgments. It's an amazing world. I just can't wait to jump into this. But first, for those of you who just joined us, I want to tell you that last time it was a little hard for us to hear, not me, and that was the downside. You did get to hear me, but to hear almost everybody else. And we have worked hard on that, and I do believe we have absolutely fixed that situation really well. The other thing I want to mention is that Donna and I got up in the middle of the night last night and watched the full moon just disappear in the total eclipse. It was a magnificent thing. And actually, I almost never share this piece of information, but it was kind of a birthday present. Today is my birthday, and I just had that wonderful way of starting out with that birthday present.
Happy
which
birthday.
Magnificent. Yeah, thank you so much. And now I am going to mute us, but the good news is with this new phone service, you do not have to mute your phones. So this will be a wonderful time for you to do nothing. And I am just raring to go. So you heard Donna give you the amazing title of tonight's talk. And first of all, I want to just welcome you. I want to join you. I want to hold you in my heart, invite you to hold all of us in our heart. This is a wonderful time when we all come together just to really let the amazingness of life happen. So it was sometime in the middle of last week that this topic just absolutely jumped into my head. It was all about judging. And, you know, judgment does not get a good press. So I thought I'd come up with a title like Judging and Judgments, It's an Amazing World. Then my cute little humorous side decided to get involved and to come up with some alternative titles. So one of them is Let's Judge Our Judgments. I thought that was, like, too cute. Or, judgment is a terrible thing. Now, actually, if you're not getting the humor, you're going to wake up at 2:30 this morning, and it's going to hit you, and you're going to say, oh, I get it. Judgment is a terrible thing. That's a judgment about judgments. Forget it. So, or I thought another alternate title would be wonderful. How about, I hate people who judge. Isn't that the best? I'm just having the most wonderful time here. And I've got one final alternate title for this. Judgmental people are ruining our neighborhood. I think that's really good. Anyway, so much for the humor of it. Let me jump into some thoughts about this remarkable part of the human experience called judgment. And I'm starting out humorous, and I'm going to gradually work my way deep, deep, deep down into our heart and our soul about this topic. But I think for the first few minutes, I want to just have a good time with it. So here we go, judgment. What a whopping big part of our human experience judgment is. In fact, all we need to do is listen to people talking around us or, frankly, even just listen to yourself when you're having one of those bad hair days. And it's easy to discover how ingrained making judgments about all the state of our affairs in life happens to be. So, for example, try on some of these typical judgments just for size. One, if so-and-so would just change that habit, then I'd be able to tolerate him. Or how about this one? I hate the way my boss treats me. Or my parents never loved me. Or I don't like the way that dress looks on you. Or this guy really has problems. How about there are simply crazy drivers out there on the road? Or I can't stand the fact that people declare wars and kill each other. How about this one? What was he thinking? Or, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. Or, I don't like this part of my life. Or, in the positive direction, I think she's a living saint. Then I really like, this is terrible, that's awful, this is good, that's bad, I'm right, you're wrong. And so on. I think we all get the picture. We're really good at this judgment thing. And by the way, I had a wonderful time coming up with all those. I just had a ball. My whole judgmental self just got into it. And I feel so relieved getting all that off my chest now. It's a wonderful thing. So you know what I really love about the judgments that we make? It's the way that they open us up to a really inviting world of absolutely unending possibilities for evaluating. Evaluating the people, the circumstances, the conditions, et cetera, around us. Really, if we look at it, we can go on and find more and more things to evaluate or to apply our values and principles to or to criticize or certainly to make judgments about. Besides that, besides just the unendingness of it, let's face it, it's really fun to judge other people, isn't it? And even ourselves, except ourselves to a lesser degree because we tend to feel the pain of it a little more when it's personal. But what's fun is it leaves us feeling really good. For example, when we're hanging out in judgment, we're in a position of being right or superior or intelligent or powerful or maybe even better than others or, you know, something a little more personal, safe, secure, protected. I mean, really, how much better can it get than that? And a final little thought in the humorous arena is judgment really leaves us feeling so, well, so human. You know, it's like, oh boy, I'm just like everybody else when I judge. So when my neighbor says, isn't this weather awful? We can agree. And then we've bonded with our neighbor. It's a sort of like a bonding technique. It's great. Then when he complains about the other neighbor who isn't keeping his or her lawn up to snuff, we've got common ground for just moving the discussion right along. You know, judging just so convenient. It makes us like regular folk. And I don't know about you, but it feels so good to be regular, to fit in. It's kind of cool if you ask me, whoops, was that a judgment? It's kind of cool. Oh, well. Anyway, it's really easy to be judgmental. We humans, I don't know about you, but I'm having a great time with this. We humans seem to have a sort of a covert agreement that judging is simply a convenient way to communicate, even to bond, and frankly, even to unite, maybe to unite against what we don't like. We're surrounded not only by judgments on a day-to-day, minute-by-minute basis, but by genuine efforts, and I mean genuine, to create positive effects based on those judgments. For example, I got a real kick out of this. I recently read on the Internet an article that was referring to the 2003 Maryland Diocesan Convention. Now, I'm not even sure what church that was referring to. Probably some Christian church, but I don't know. But I couldn't resist copying this sentence from the article. It's this, quote, in case you weren't aware, racism is bad, real, real bad, especially when it's covert. We're doing our darndest against it, unquote. And it doesn't really stop just with racism. Quite genuinely, as a culture, we're fighting a war on drugs, battles against cancer, and a campaign against, well, you name it. There are lots of campaigns. And concurrently, as a nation, of course, as we know, we're waging a war on terrorism. And, of course, these are all good causes, aren't they? Good causes from racism to terrorism to anything else we don't like. Everyone would agree, or would they? The point is, of course, that whenever we do anything based on judgment, whether good or bad, positive or negative, right or wrong, we have to be for or against something. It's either or thinking. Those are the only two choices. And if we're for it, then somehow we're in the position of having to defend it. And if we're against it, then we have to champion one cause against the other side. Bottom line, no matter how wonderful our cause is, no matter how right we feel about it, we're still locked in the judgment that lies behind it. And in the process, we reinforce the judgment and we invite ourselves further into its single-choiced web. In short, judgment is, by golly, downright convenient, downright fun, and really has its communication sides, its bonding sides, and its upsides, while our use of it can keep us plainly locked up, unfree, and ever so limited in our lives. Here's a quote that I think you've all heard. There's a field beyond right and wrong. I'll meet you there. It's part of a larger quote, a larger poem by the great 13th century Muslim Sufi mystic and poet Rumi. And again, I'm sure you've either heard it or read it, and I'd like to repeat it. There's a field beyond right and wrong. I'll meet you there. And Rumi, of course, isn't the only one who's tickled our minds with the invitation to become free of judgment, free of the whole right and wrong thing. Buddha, Jesus, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, and countless others, many of them well-known mystics and spiritual teachers, have urged us for centuries and millennia to let go of judgmental thoughts and orientations as a doorway or a portal to personal freedom, and as an avenue to that ultimate prize of spirituality, unity. And that's what we're here for tonight. Jesus, for example, preached these words, "Judge not that you not be judged." A really simple sentence. And in another instance, he urged that the one who is without sin be the first to cast the stone to punish another person, implying, of course, that there's not a human being alive, including you and me, that really, in truth, is in a position to utter one word of judgment or have one word or one thought of judgment about another person. Other teachers have invited us to practice non-judgment. I remember Mohandas Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, for example, begged his followers to love their enemies and honor their enemies' right to live and to be happy, even in the midst of actively resisting their control, actively being at war with them. And of course, you, I, each and every one of us here has had a long history of practicing non-judgment, whether successfully or not, and we'll not evaluate that factor here because that would lead us to be judgmental, and oh dear, we couldn't do that. So in a real sense, you and I are already experts on the subject because we know it. We know it from every angle. We know it from every direction. We know it from every motivation. So let's look at this thing called judgment through the eyes of our soul. And this is where I want to invite us into a very, very special time, a special moment. Around the theme of judgment, I'm inviting us to soulfulness. And I say that because it's so easy to stick to the theme of judgment from the point of view of the mind. It's easy for us to judge our judgment, for example. It's easy for us to make a cognitive process out of judgment, and of course that's all fine. But this evening, let's look at judgment through the eyes of the soul. Let's see what our deepest truth or wisdom has to say as it speaks to us about that powerful quality of our human mind that we call judgment. What has come to me is that our shared soul this evening might have three pieces of insight to give us in this regard. First, there is no implicit judgment in our human dualistic experience. I want to repeat that. That's my sense of if we tune into our soul, the first piece of wisdom would be this. There is no implicit judgment in our human dualistic experience. Dualism, of course, simply implies two sides of a spectrum. You know, left, right, male, female, up, down, night, day, winter, summer. A duality, that daily perspective and perceptive quality of the human experience, simply invites us to choose between these two sides, to be in a male body or a female body, to drive on the left or the right side of the road, etc. Through dualistic lenses, life simply looks like a continual choice between two sides of a spectrum and invites us to live each experience, each side that we choose fully, meaningfully, and celebrating. In short, living in a world of duality just is, it can be fun. It in and of itself, it's really no problem. It just is. And the great thing is it allows us multiple choices. It allows us a range, a wide range of possibilities and events and directions. And so it's really great. Oh, dear, was that a judgment? The second insight of the soul is this. It's our value judgments about duality that invite us to the perspective of right, wrong, good, evil, just, unjust, positive, negative, wonderful, terrible, happy, sad, etc. That is, if I say it again, it's only our values that we put to it, and judgments based on values about this dualistic world that pull us into these difficult directions. That is, there's nothing innately value-based or value-driven at all about this dualistic human world. Again, it just is. And living here is simply a rich experience of possibilities, an excuse, frankly, to create options for an emotional, physical, mental, spiritual experience of life. It's only when we decide to evaluate our world with moral judgments that we give it the very meanings that create personal judgment, and from that personal dilemma, and from that personal pain. For example, if I think that another race is suspect or evil or bad, then I'm immediately in conflict, and that leads me to be in pain. It's only really when we judge something that we miss out, I think, on the soul's bigger perspective, on the soul's visionary wisdom, on its clearer truth. And when I say soul, I'm meaning the real us. And we start actually living another truth, another system, another life, one of morally based, artificially created, personally limiting what we call judgments. And I'm not bad-mouthing morality here in the least, but I am inviting us to look at how we use it to create misery for ourselves. And that leads me to the third of the soul's insights. We have built into our human self and our human resources a remarkable capacity to remember, our soulful truth, to recall our primordial knowing, to reconnect with the original design of life. For example, we've all decided to come into this dualistically created world so that we could move among all the possibilities for an amazingly creative adventure. That's the beauty of duality. If we were hanging out in oneness, it would all just be this glorious, magnificent experience of being and oneness and light. And that, of course, is hugely rich in itself. But duality gives us a remarkably tangible, palpable, feelable grasp of so many ways of experiencing that beautiful unity. That said, we can remember that truth. We can call ourselves back to that truth about the beauty of the dualistic world. We can re-decide to move out of our learned morality-based living, at least to the degree that it invites us into judgment and its consequences, and to move into inspiration-based living, wherein the truth of the soul guides our thinking and the wisdom of the heart inspires our perception of the world around us. This last point deserves a little commentary. Did you hear and register what I just said? I want to repeat it. We can re-decide to move out of our learned morality-based living and move into inspiration-based living. As you let those words sink in, how do they register in your heart? How do they feel in your gut? How do they reverberate in your soul? And then maybe the question, how do they land in your mind? Chances are, for many of us at least, those words are anywhere from a consolation to a celebration in our hearts and our guts and our souls, where they're clearly felt as an avenue to true freedom. But our minds often pull those words into a heated internal debate. Our minds sometimes pepper us with questions and doubts and insecurities about one thing, become attached to these values. They become our best defense in a world that doesn't feel safe. Or our prized values and value system represent a position of safety and security, or of downright identity, or, gee, wonderful status. So let's face it, taking a big and brave step beyond our values, especially the ones we cherish, can feel like stepping into the void, into nowhere, into a structureless emptiness where we have only one recourse, and that is to trust life, to trust ourselves, to trust our soulful inspiration, to trust, well, to trust. Yep, it's my sense that remembering our right to bypass judgment and to simply live life without the learned value judgments opens us to a life of total and free experience of the human experience. But it usually comes with a price tag, an admission ticket. And I remember in The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy came to the Emerald City and with her friends found the wonderful Wizard of Oz and asked him to send her home to Kansas. He said, "Oh, sure, I can do that, but there's a price you need to pay. There's an admission ticket. You have to go out there and you have to find that wicked witch and you have to bring her broomstick back to me." And Dorothy felt, I'm sure, she felt like, what? Wait a minute, I just want to get the gift. What's with this admission ticket? And so, what's the price of admission? Simply put, it's the price of letting go. Letting go. More complexly put, letting go of our learned judgments and in turn of our learned values. Even more complexly, surrendering. Surrendering to a deeper place of knowing, to a higher source of truth, to a more intimate soul of life. Letting go, surrendering, trusting. Floating in the mystery of life rather than in the seeming sureness of our values. This is the admission ticket to freedom, indeed to the world of oneness. These three insights of the soul, one, that there's no judgment inherent in our dualistic human experience, two, that it's only when we apply values to that human experience that we lock ourselves into judgment and into a perception of life and misery. And three, happily, that we have built into our nature a remarkable capacity to remember and to move back beyond the values, beyond the judgments, to the simplicity of life. And not just the simplicity of life out there in the universe, in the infinite, in the higher self, but life right here on earth. And I feel like if we just would do that simple little thing of letting go of judgments and of the values that create them, we would naturally remember who we are. We'd naturally perceive the amazingness of life here on earth. We would naturally just fall into the creativity quality of life and we'd start choosing the different ends of the spectrum of life and giving ourselves permission just to have the natural experience without evaluating whether it's good or bad or right or wrong, but just letting the experience being the experience, and let us have whatever we have from it. So these three insights of the soul invite us. They invite us personally, spiritually, humanly. They invite us to live soulfully, simply, peacefully, without judgments, learned trappings, and beyond our values, limitations. And you know, I want to say, I've talked to people a lot over the years about letting go of values. And it's one of the most difficult things for anybody to do, because we love our values. We cherish our values. If anything is a sacred cow, if anything is perceived as absolutely sacred and as close to the ultimate truth as possible, it's our values. And so very few of us even recognize that those values, those rights and wrongs and those goods and bads that we hold as so important to us, as moral compasses by which we guide our lives, as the source of our principles, very few of us recognize that, wonderful as they may be, beautiful as they may be, my goodness, when we're living life where we are, they literally hold us back. So I want to invite you once again to listen, or feel, or sense, or intuit, or envision. Listen within yourself to what that personal invitation is for you. Remember, these three insights of the soul invite us to move beyond our learned trappings of judgment, beyond the limitations of our values. What is that invitation for you? And while you hang out in that deep inner space, resonating with, attuning to, feeling what that invitation is, I'd like to offer you these thoughts. And of course, as always, feel free to tune into them or just stay much more focused on your inner process. The first thought is this. It's so easy for any of us, no matter how spiritually attuned we may be, to become one of the crowd. That is, to fall into the normal human pattern of judging. Maybe not judging everything, but just some things. It's just as easy to do that as like riding a bike. Whoops, not a good analogy for some of us, I guess. Anyway, second, it's a great idea to start the leap beyond judgment and learned morality by not judging yourself. The greatest place to start is right at home, by refusing to make a judgment about any of your own attitudes, feelings, behaviors, motivations, etc. Sure, it's easy to continue finding fault with some aspect of ourselves, our bodies, or our persisting pains, for example, but what about taking that bold step, and I mean bold step, beyond those learned judgments, and refusing, simply refusing to become mad at yourself ever, refusing to criticize yourself ever? That's a pretty bold step. And I think each of us has experimented with it enough to know that, on the other hand, one of the reasons we tend to forget about it is because it's bold and it's brave and it's big. Then again, how about helping yourself even more by actively forgiving yourself? That's the next step to not judging. Just forgive yourself for whatever's there. So you do this, so you've got that habit, so you've got this unhealed issue. Forgive yourself. And then even forgive yourself, feeling like judging yourself negatively. Forgive your judgments. Third thought, in order to help us release any attachment to our moral codes or our learned value system, if, of course, your soulful truth is calling you to do exactly that, you might want to ask yourself, how ready am I to take this step? Let's face it, again, it's a big leap. even though it's leaping right back into the simplicity and naturalness of our nature, it's a big leap because, and I think only because, hardly anyone else around us is giving us permission to make that leap. Almost everyone else we see is equally or perhaps even more locked into the habit of that judgment. Yes, most human beings are scared, even petrified, and understandably so, of living outside their learned values for fear of rejection or punishment or lostness or even, would you believe, eternal damnation. But you don't have to be there. I don't have to be there. Are you ready to leap? Leap, not just beyond the learned values, but also beyond those motivators within you that lie behind those values. I truly believe you are. But the far more important question is, do you believe and feel and sense and know that you are? My fourth thought and last one, if you're looking for a more ultimate freedom, and we're going for the gold in this one, you might want to let go not only of what we call negative judgments, whether of yourself or others, but even to let go of what we call positive judgments. Positive judgments like, ooh, I really like such and such about you, or this kind of music makes me really happy, or I love this aspect of my personality, or I want what only what makes me happy, or I really like, fill in the blank. Obviously, our positive judgments, interestingly, can be just as confining and limiting as our negative ones. Even though on the surface, they may seem like a giant act of self-love. For example, I've often heard people express this self-loving statement, I'm not a bad person, I'm a good person. Or, I refuse to see myself as a bad person, I choose to see myself as a good person. Certainly, and beautifully, a step in a wonderful and freeing direction, and may in fact actually be a really admirable step out of negativity. You know where I'm going here. It can also, and in fact usually does, keep us in the limiting cycle of our value judgments. It's a bit freeing, which is great, and if that's where we are and that's what's important, let's go for it. But it's not totally freeing, and that's why I'm bringing this point up to us. My soulful sense here in this moment is that the reason you're listening to this talk, the reason you're a part of this deep conversation, is to become as totally free as possible. And you just may be absolutely ready for that totality. Join me then as we move slowly toward the end of this talk. If you feel moved to, in a brief, very brief, four-step exercise. It's an exercise not only in letting go of learned judgment and cherished values, but also in embracing the ultimate freedom and peace of your very nature. First, open yourself right now to just being. That's right, just being. In this moment, you're neither man nor woman, person nor human, married nor single, this nor that. You just are. You just are. You're hanging out in the isness of yourself and of life. Can you experience the freedom of just being? The simplicity of having no descriptors, no adjectives? The inner peace of experiencing yourself beyond any formerly learned labels. What's it like to just be, without any values of goodness or badness, or the goodness or badness of just being, beyond any judgments or evaluations about its okayness or non-okayness. What's it like to just be? And finally, how is it? How is it to embrace this experience, to allow this experience, to know this experience? Does it bring back perhaps a memory of naturalness or of simplicity or of rightness? Not rightness as opposed to wrongness, but rightness as in, this feels like my most innate truth. Second, while you're just being, watch. Just watch as those old judgments fall away. That's right. Now, they're just falling away all by themselves. They're leaving you, dissolving, dissipating. All you need to do while you're being is observe, watch, witness. As your mind simply now takes its cue from your essence, from your being, as you notice your learned judgments become absorbed quite naturally and easily into this precious state that is now, all of a sudden, in charge of everything. Being is in charge of everything. Third, while you're being and watching, allow. Just allow yourself simply to dissolve. That's right, just to be so in a state of letting go that you almost cease to exist, at least cease to exist in the ways that you've known yourself to exist. You'll begin to notice any time now that your personal identity is merging with that of bigger life, that any sense of individual self is dissolving into the grander self of life, and that whatever you have been is now being drawn into a new form, that of a judgmentless, valueless experience of oneness, wherein you're simply one with God, one with being, one with everything. Yes, here you are, no longer the old you, the one that needed to protect himself, herself from others by using judgment, but rather now the full you, the real you, the expanded you, the infinite you, the you that is so one with life that life has now become your protection. Life is now your identity. Life is now you. Life is now you. Life is now you. Fourth, and last, while you're being and watching and allowing, let life itself do the rest. You're out of a job. Everything about you, including your mind, can rest. Turn everything over in this sacred moment to the infinite, soulful, center of all life, God. Do whatever, in its infinite wisdom and knowing, wants to do. And let yourself become it, enjoy it, live it, and find yourself in a world way, way beyond the smallness of limitation, the littleness of judgment, and the itsy-bitsiness of values. You are in the arms of the infinite, both in your vastness and in your humanness. And in this space, the glory, the wonder, the simplicity, the naturalness, and the amazing creativity of this human experience can come alive now and forever. I thank you enormously. What a joy, utter joy it's been to join with you, embrace you, be embraced by you, and in expressing these words, to invite you and lead you into life's amazing embrace, an embrace that lives beyond the ways that sometimes we let ourselves live. I've meant this talk to be, of course, as always, way beyond a talk. I've meant it to be a deep personal experience. I've meant it to be a transformational moment, a time where life touches you, you touch life in a way that creates a spark, makes a difference, and invites you into yourself and into all life in that kind of fresh way that it lodges, it settles, it takes up residence in your daily fabric from now on. Thank you so very, very, very much. And what I'm going to do at this point is I'm going to turn it over to us. And I just looked at my watch and recognized that, by golly, you know what I've done is I've talked probably 10 minutes longer than I usually do. But, you know, I couldn't resist all that humor up front. And I'm going to turn it over to us because, of course, and as always, your words are as important as mine. And any wisdom you have, any sharing you have, anything that's a personal sharing or just an insight or whatever it is that you feel moved to share with us, we would be honored to hear from you. And what I'd love to do is, if you feel like sharing, then I'd ask you to just press *6 once, and then let us know, introduce yourself, and share what you will, and then press *6 again to mute your phone. And at this point, I'm going to unmute my phone. I do believe that we're all muted, but that anyone can unmute him or herself at any point. What I do want to mention once again is that I will not be answering any questions just because this is your time for sharing with us. So is there anybody who'd like to share anything with us?
Bill, this is J.S. in Skokie, Illinois.
Hello, J.S. in wonderful downtown Skokie, Illinois.
Wonderful, beautiful downtown Skokie, Illinois. The two ideas or concepts that started floating around in my mind starting, maybe Saturday, were one, letting go, and the second one was family.
What was the second one?
Family.
Family, yes.
And I am so tickled by the idea of meeting everyone in the field beyond right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
For there, that is where we are family.
Wow.
And
wow.
And of course, letting go was a big part of the theme of tonight's talk that was so eloquent, and I thank not only you and not only Donna, but everybody on this call for being present and being family. And in that family, each of us apropos of your talk last month, can stand in his or her own power without judgment and beyond the field of right and wrong. Thank you.
Wow, J.S., that was eloquent. That was so wisdom-filled and so embracing of all of us. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Would someone else like to say something? Or should I say, would someone else like dare follow that beautiful comment?
Bill?
Yes.
Bill, did I reach Boston, Albuquerque?
Oops, I do believe we have two people talking at the same time.
Okay. It's okay. Albuquerque can go first.
Oh, okay. Whoever it was from Albuquerque, all I heard was the Albuquerque can go.
This is Celeste in Albuquerque.
Yes, hi,
can
Celeste.
You hear me?
Yes,
hi.
Absolutely.
What I was feeling, and it's just so appropriate that I'd be on this, was that I was feeling like totally strangled by judgment. And just like forcing myself into more of like a cave because of the judgment.
Uh-huh.
And what I just feel is that by letting go of the judgment allows love to come out. The purity, and that the judgment was keeping the love held in.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to thank you for that. It's just appropriate that you would talk about it. So
yeah, sounds like the timing was perfect.
Yeah,
thank
now
you.
Now I can thank you.
Yeah, and I love her point about something else can come in, and for Celeste it happens to be love once we let go. So thank you. Somebody else? Yes. And whoever was nice enough to give the time over to Celeste.
It was Valerie.
Valerie?
Valerie from Austin, Texas.
Yes. Hello, Valerie from Austin.
Yes. Hi. I just was thinking when you, at the end of your speech, I was just hearing, I am, you know, God in me is, and that's all there is. And anything you add or I add afterwards is just a story. And, you know, if you believe the story, that's where the problems begin. Any time somebody asks me a question, basically I answer, I am. Well, that's the way it is, which is another version of I am.
Mm-hmm.
And anything I add to that is a story. And but now the next step for me is to apply that to others, which I am trying to do every day. But, it's still difficult to apply that to others. That's the way they are, and accept them the way they are. But, it's a step to get there, and there are some enlightened moments where there is no judgment during the day, and some others where that's just a very human, basic human day. That's the way it is. I don't think enlightenment is it's an everyday thing, and forever. It's just there are moments, ups and downs, so we are getting there little by little. But I just really enjoy your speech, and the meditation that follows is going to be fantastic. I know it. But basically, yes, not adding anything after I am is the key for me.
Wow. Yes, thank you so much. That's a beautiful, beautiful perspective, and I really appreciate what I think you've modeled for us in your description of yourself, which is a tangible way to be present verbally with non-judgment in the world. Thank you, Valerie.
You're welcome.
Yes, and it's somebody else.
Hi, Bill. This is Marjolaine.
Hello, Marjolaine from New York.
Hi. This is so appropriate. I came.
Marjolaine, could you put your maybe your mouth a little closer to the phone so we could hear you a little better?
Yes, we're having a problem with our phone. Is it better this way?
It's a little better. Yes, thanks.
Okay, I'll just talk louder. I just came through halfway through the conference call this evening,
mm-hmm.
and because I just finished a 14-hour day, and this was so absolutely perfect to hear how we are all being called to completely surrender to life and to let life make everything happen and not
yes.
to be caught up into personal decisions or thinking that we control what is out there, but
mm-hmm.
to completely trust that it's all being taken care of its own. And I've been working with a lot of different people, almost like a general contractor, and it's been quite it's been quite an amazing juggling process of working with different people to make things happen.
Yes.
And this call was perfect, and I'm just so grateful, so grateful for the gift that you just gave me tonight.
Oh, thank you so much, Marjolaine. It's just a joy for me, and I think really a joy for all of us because, as was said earlier by JS especially, we are a family, and I happen to put words to this, but these words really come out of all of our souls, all of our truth, and it's a shared, not just a shared message, but it's a shared invitation, and just when each of us gets touched, we all get touched. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And is there one more person who would like to say something?
Billy?
Yes.
Hi, Bill. It's Pamelita.
Oh, Pamelita from New Mexico.
thank you so much. That was just exceptional. And in my going deeper with your words, in my process the last few years of letting go of judgments, right or wrong, I realized tonight that there was still the word or the term discernment. I kept thinking, oh,
mm-hmm.
well, I let go of judgment, but there's still discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And so tonight I realized in going deeper that as I live in that place of knowing, there's even no place for discernment. For the knowing automatically makes the choice that is soul-inspired. The
wow.
choices that appeared are soul-inspired. So
mm-hmm.
that it's almost like there's no longer any navigation. There's just a flow. And so thank you. Aho.
Aho. And thank you so much. Not just the distinction you mentioned, but the whole way you languaged it, Pam, is just very teaching to us and very inviting to us. Thank you so much. And let's see. I need to do something else. I need to press this button so as to mute us once again. And I'm going to take the next 5 minutes or so just in a brief meditative time. Again, thank you all so much. What an amazing sharing that you all did with us. And for those of you who didn't share verbally, thank you for sharing in all the nonverbal, soul-based ways, energetic ways, et cetera, that you have. To just be. To just be is, of course, our nature. It's our essence. It's the very isness of who we are. It's what at the core of each and every person is real. Just being. And that, of course, is our most primary identity, most primary self, and our most primary, central, center of presence. Who you are and who I am is a being of being, a presence of someone who just is. And that means that the deepest truth about you and me is that there's nothing about us that needs evaluating, calls for evaluating, or certainly deserves evaluating. It means and implies that just by being, and second, by being the unique presence or self or person that you are, or I am, or we are, is enough. It's just enough in and of itself. And it doesn't matter if someone invents a series of techniques for evaluating, styles for evaluating, principles for evaluating, criteria for evaluating, and then applies those to us or to themselves or to life. It only matters that right here, right now, you are, and that you have the right in this moment of infinite permission based on the central truth of being, you have the right to bypass those criteria, those principles, those styles, etc., of evaluating, and you have the right to just be. In fact, beyond that, you have the right to invite your heart, the wisdom of your loving heart, into the middle of that space of just being, where your heart knows the utter beauty of your just being. You, in addition, have the right to invite your mind also to sit in the middle of and to plug itself into the socket of your being, your essence, and invite and allow your mind, by being plugged into that socket, to take all its cues, as Valerie just mentioned to us, all of its cues from that deepest truth, that just being is all that matters, all that is, so that your mind can right now relax, enjoy the freedom, enjoy the truth, and enjoy its expanded, simplified role of just translating that simple truth. I just am. It just is. They just are. Life just is. Circumstances just are. And that's all I, your mind, need to do with it. Indeed, you have the right, right here and right now, to just be yourself and enjoy. With these few simple words, and I invite us to let go as these words take their place in the depths of our psyche, in the core of our being, in the recesses and resources of our mind, in the sacredness of our heart, in the knowingness of our soul, and stay with us and echo through the night, echo tomorrow, the next day, and on. And in echoing their truth, we feel their invitation, and we keep saying yes to the truth of who we are. Thank you so very, 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 very much for a wonderful, wonderful hour together. And now I'm going to turn this over to Donna, just to do her goodbye to us and ask if there's anything she would like to share with us.
Well, I do want to thank you on behalf of everybody who I know is on this call. As usual, most of us are left kind of in a speechless place. And so with that, I just gratefully say to you, Bill, thank you for leading all of us this evening again in this wonderful hour. And I did want to remind everyone that next month our teleconference will be on September 25th. We'll just be back from Italy, so Bill may be speaking in Italian. And
right.
Then I also wanted to remind everyone that the website is now up and running with our new conversation on it. And shortly after tonight, within the next day or two, a summary of tonight's call will be posted on the page called Connecting, a Community Conversation. And we so welcome your comments so that we can continue this conversation throughout the coming month. And so with that, I would love everyone to unmute their phones so that we can all have a wonderful goodbye.
Thank you, Donna. Thank you, everybody. And we
thank
wish you a wonderful goodbye, and you can feel free to say goodbye, too.
Bye,
bye.
Bill.
Bye.
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 Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Have a beautiful, beautiful month.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Oh, thank you. Yay.
Thank you, Bill.
Happy birthday to you. Oh, those voices are of operatic quality. Oh, and the harmony. It was amazing. Thank you. I'm touched and I'm honored. And I wish you a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time till we talk again. Bye-bye.
Hi.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.